Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
You don't have to wait, and you really should not wait until that time, because the time is now to hear my voice and to be made alive. So everyone has a life to live. Everyone has a period of time on this earth we call physical life, where you have an opportunity to respond to the call of Christ to be made alive. But you only have so much time, because you know, after we die, I know there are some faiths and some believe and some put their faith in this idea that once you die, you can then make a decision. Maybe there's purgatory or some period of time where you can be preached to or taught and make a decision, but that's a lie.
Have you ever found yourself saying, I'll get to that next week, or I'll try that next year, but you never do? In today's message with Pastor Troy, you'll be challenged to not wait. Following Jesus isn't an option to get to choose after death. And what if tomorrow comes for everyone else but you? As scary as that might be, it's true. The time to follow Jesus isn't next week or even next year. The time is now. He promises you a life made new and a hope for the future. So what are you waiting for? Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 5 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in John chapter 5, verses 25 through 29. I remember as a child that my mom would say certain things like, don't make me have to tell your father, or your father is going to be here soon. And I understood what the statement, the purpose of that statement was, is you need to consider carefully what you're about to say, what you're about to do. Consider these things, weigh these things, because there's one coming who you may not enjoy his presence when he gets here. And so we find ourselves where Jesus has just made some jaw-dropping statements. The religious leaders catch this, and they're calling him a blasphemer, and they're ready to kill him. So Jesus catches them in this place. He's claimed that he has the same nature as God the Father. He's claimed that he should be honored just as the Father, in case you're confused. He's also claimed that he can give life and judge the dead, that all judgment has been given to him. So these are extreme claims here, and they're a little concerned, and they want to go after him. They want to kill him. It's in their heart to get rid of this guy. So Jesus adds some more information today in his communication to them. And it's this moment, this little piece of warning. That judgment has been given to me, and daddy's coming. So be careful right now how you treat what you're doing with this information. Be very careful, because the hour is coming. You know, we all have our own life to live. I can't live someone else's life. I have mine I'm accountable for. Mine I need to live out. Mine comes with its own unique experiences, unique emotions, unique everything. And God's speaking to my heart, helping me overcome myself, basically, so that I can live for Him and not for myself. So what we do with our life matters. What we do with our life matters in light of eternity, in light of this. The hour is coming. In fact, we're going to talk about a few things that everyone has in common as we consider the statement, the hour is coming. And hopefully it will help us to prioritize the things in our life, what is important. Verse 25, we begin, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So remember, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders. They're the ones who want to kill him. And he's sharing, be careful what you're thinking of doing. Be careful what you think and what you're considering. That's his pushback on their thoughts. And the first thing that we all need to consider is this one. Everyone dies. Everyone dies. We won't escape it. We can live for this life. We can do everything that we want to do. We can get everything out of this life that we want to, but we will eventually die. We don't like to talk about death, but it's part of life. You know, we have children. We have no problem talking about children and giving birth and all of this, but death is just as much a part of life as birth. Everyone who's born dies. But we don't like to talk about death. Statistics say that about 2 people die every second. It's a lot of death going on. And this includes rich, poor, male, female, old, and just in case you were feeling like I've got all my life left ahead of me, even young. No one is exempt. No one knows when their time is going to come. Not everyone lives a full ripe age till the age of 70, 80 years old. Some don't make it to their 20s. Some don't make it to their teens. It's part of the curse. Death entered the world. Sin entered the world and death because of sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. From a biblical perspective, there are 2 forms of life, 2 forms of death. In the hospital, we can certainly, and even psychiatrists, psychologists, they can deal with one form of life, that is physical life, how things function physically. You know, there are systems in our body that if they don't run properly, they mess us up, and we could even die if the heart stops pumping the blood. And so we can fix those kinds of things. We can work on some of those things and keep, well, from the scripture's perspective, a dead person alive. But there's another dimension of life. That's the spiritual life. There's physical life and there's physical death. Everyone who's physically born will physically die. But there's another form, and that is spiritual life. And the Bible says that you must be born again to experience this. That born again life. We're born spiritually dead, but we need spiritual life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we read this, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So in this physical life, we are just a little above the animals. We're above the animals in the sense that we have a spiritual nature that seeks to worship. But really, we're no more than the beasts if all we do is follow our lusts and our flesh and, you know, our own reasonings and things like that, our own understandings. We're acting just like them. No wonder they have an argument that we evolved. Because if we just live like we evolved, that's kind of what we act like. But we have laws and we have a spiritual nature that desires to worship. We have certain things that govern because we're not just like the beasts. God breathed into us the breath of life. God breathed into us something different. But we're born spiritually dead. So we're left to the things of the flesh. We follow what we want, what we feel, what we know, what will protect us. Those are the things that we pursue. So some of us will close ourselves off and shield ourselves off because I'm safer, I'm not comfortable talking to people and being out there, and so let's just isolate ourselves. Others are out there in everybody's business because the last thing they want is to be alone. And so it's this self-preservation. We do what we do because it gratifies me. But God has poured into us something, life. And for those who have spiritual life, we begin to live on a different plane. We see things differently, things we couldn't see before. And we begin to understand a lot about life. See, atheists and agnostics, they like to claim that they're brilliant. They know things. And because I'm so brilliant, and our group knows so much, obviously, Christians just have a crutch with that religious faith thing, and we're the ones with our knowledge who know things. The truth is, they don't see anything but their books and their head knowledge. They can't see beyond this life. We can. We're better equipped to live life because we're alive. So, the New Testament tells us that we need to be born again, spiritually alive. We're born spiritually dead. When you come to Christ, there's sort of a spiritual resurrection that takes place, and God brings life to a dead soul. Now, you can be a good dead soul. You can live a meaningful life, a good life. You'll get through it. You'll think you're all alive. But you're not. Not until you experience true life. It's something that can't really be explained. It must be experienced. Those who've experienced it know. So when you come to Christ, there's this resurrection. And it says in verse 25, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Now, he speaks of two times. He says, the hour is coming, that's future, and it now is when you will hear this voice, and the dead will be made alive. So, there's a time coming in the future that we'll talk about where everyone is made alive and standing before the Lord and giving an account. That time is coming, which Jesus is alluding to here. But also, he says, and now is. In other words, you don't have to wait, and you really should not wait until that time, because the time is now to hear my voice and to be made alive. So everyone has a life to live. Everyone has a period of time on this earth we call physical life, where you have an opportunity to respond to the call of Christ to be made alive. But you only have so much time. Because, you know, after we die, I know there are some faiths and some believe and some put their faith in this idea that once you die, you can then make a decision. Maybe there's purgatory or some period of time where you can be preached to or taught and make a decision. But that's a lie. This is the day of salvation. You can only make that decision today. See, everything changes when you die. All of a sudden, you see the reality that is. It's now that we can respond by faith. And only now. So this is the day of salvation. You can't wait till you die. It'll be too late. And that's a lie of the enemy to tell you, hey, chill out. Once you die, hey, live your life. Just live it. And then when you die, then make the decision. Or say, I'm sorry, something. But it doesn't work that way. We're saved by faith, by grace through faith. We can only demonstrate that faith right here, right now.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. This is the life we've been given to live, and we only have so much time because everyone dies. The only exception, really, is the rapture. We look forward to that. That's that time when Jesus says, all right, I'm going to move back to my plan with Israel, the Middle East, the land, all of that. And so this church age, this age of grace is over. I'm calling you guys up. And I'm going to continue unfolding that last seven-year period we call tribulation or the revelation period when that's unfolding. But now, we got one life to live. What are we going to do with it? Well, it's important because verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Second thing we need to consider for everyone, and that is everyone is evaluated. Everyone is evaluated. Contrary to popular opinion, death, physical death, is not the end. It's not the end. There's more. There's an evaluation of our life after our life. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says this, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. The doctrine of divine judgment, let me just say that it is probably one of the more neglected teachings in the church today. The church has moved towards a more social kind of a camaraderie than it is a Bible teaching, here are the facts about spiritual life and what we can expect and what God has placed in our laps, or God has given to us. Rather than marching orders, a staff meeting, it's become just a place to gather together with like-minded and like-hearted people like Amway or something else, you know, where you just kind of get together, the Scouts, you know, all these different organizations that have a common goal and agenda, but it's fellowship and friendship and learning a few things. That's not the church. The church has a mission, and it will cost our lives sometimes, this mission. It costs the life of Christ, for sure, and it's cost the life of so many others who've given their life to following Christ. It's not just playing games and having fun and getting together and having some of the events that you might have. It's a life. And at the end, one day, all that we did will be evaluated. People love to hear how Jesus is our friend. Jesus is our helper. I see the faces out there when I talk about Jesus as your comforter and the one who picks you up and the Savior who forgives all sins. You see it. You see the smiles. You see they're so glad they brought their friend today. Like, that's the Bible. It's grace. It's good. It's good that you're here today. But though they light up and their heads nod in agreement and smiles fill their faces, I also see something different when someone dares speak of the fact that one day Jesus will evaluate our life. That there's something that should be going on in our life if we belong to Him. And that Jesus will one day be the one who renders an eternal verdict based upon what He sees. Then you don't see the same looks. You see the brows furrow like, I don't know if I'm tracking with you. And then the poor friend who's here, we talk about grace. I'm so sorry. God's not going to kill you. He's not going to strike you right here. And we've got the explanations and the defending because of something that was said. Lips are puckering. And instead of the, yes, we love you, Pastor, we get the, I don't know. It's just not the way we want to consider gentle Jesus. But let me tell you, He is Savior. He is the Savior. He is the one who calls to all, says, come, follow me. But He will also be judge. There is a time of judgment coming. Notice when Jesus spoke of Himself as having power to grant life in verse 25, He refers to Himself as what? The Son of God. I mean, that's been everything right now. The Son of God. They've taken this, like, He's making Himself equal to be God, like DNA with God, the same character and quality as God. So He's mentioned Himself and referred to Himself as the Son of God. But when He refers to Himself as judge, right here, He refers to Himself, there's this twist, as Son of Man. Calls Himself the Son of Man. In verse 22, we read that the Father, Jesus said, the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. To me, Jesus saying, to me, to Jesus. Here's what He's saying. This group, they don't believe in Him. They think He's blaspheming. He's claimed to be equal with God, and so they're wanting to get rid of Him. Jesus is bringing them into this, better watch out moment, because all judgment has been committed to me. And now He gives the reason why judgment has been committed to Him, because He is the Son of Man. The Father never clothed Himself with a body. So the Father, judging people clothed in flesh, well, we might go, who are you to judge? How can you judge us? You've never walked like we walked. You never had flesh on. You never experienced this. It would be like for me to gather all the women and go, ladies, I know you have emotional swings sometimes. I know there's certain things you've got to get over it. Now, that wouldn't go over really well for me, even though I'm a pastor, to say this, because it goes, who is he to tell him? He doesn't know anything, because I have not been there. Now, if my wife or one of the women started to share, hey, women, I understand. I know I've gone through this, but we cannot trust our emotions. We must let God rule and reign in us. And He says we can take every thought captive. And they start to explain it as someone who's been there and experienced it and knows how to come to you and approach you. Then you can go, I don't like that. But you can't say anything about it because they've proven to you that, you know, they're one of you. And they've experienced it. They've been there and they can overcome. So all judgment, Jesus says, that's the Father's, he has given it to me. Why? Because I became a man. And I have been poor. And I have been without all of the advantages. And I have been criticized. And I did have all my friends leave me. And I experienced all of these things. So I know. I can empathize. But Hebrews says, we don't have a high priest who can't empathize with us, but one who was tested in every way. He says, I can identify. And that's why I have compassion. And that's why I say, put your faith in me. Put your trust in me. I will take your sins. And you take my life on you. And he says that I will be the one who ultimately judges. Because when you say, I couldn't, I will say you could. So, we said that everyone is evaluated, right? And I know as Christians, for some Christians, we like to put the little center dividing line. And we go, judgment, salvation. But I just want to say that when we talk about being evaluated, all of us are going to be evaluated. Every one of us. Our evaluation will not be the same as those who are not saved. But we will still be evaluated. We will be, you could call it a judgment. It's not being judged as if we're condemned. But we will be evaluated. We won't be evaluated for any sin. No sin. None of our sin will be judged. Romans 8:1 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, that's the difference. Those who are saved are not walking according to the flesh all the time. They have the Spirit of God. So that's the distinction there. And so we're different, and we won't be judged for our sin, the things that the flesh won over us every now and then. But though we will not be judged to determine eternal salvation, there are some things that deal with our eternal status. Rewards, things like that. Our judgment has nothing to do with sin or sins. Actually, sin still affects our judgment because the things that we do, the way we do them, whether we do it with all of our heart or not, it's because of sin. But we're not judged for our sin, which would condemn us and cause us to go to hell. We'll stand and receive reward or no reward for the way we served the Lord, whether we did it at all, whether we served Him faithfully, if we did it with all of our heart, if we did it to be seen, or if we did it for selfish reasons, selfish motivation. All of these things will be brought to light. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved as through fire. So who is this talking to? This is talking to the saved, because that person will still be saved. But he'll, this is where the Christian gets the term, but he'll come up smoking, you know, as if by fire. Like, you did great. Oh, awesome. Here's your rewards. Hey, you did awesome. Here's your rewards. You, whew, smoking section, huh? Not much, huh? No, not so much. The stuff I did for me. Gain for me.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Neely will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.